Hi everyone, I'm Ashley Bassett.
And I'm Catherine Logan.
And welcome to an episode of the Injury Report. So originally these episodes were included under our patient-focused game plan episodes, but we get so many questions each week about these various NFL injuries. How long is this player going to be out? When can we expect them back? How are they going to do when they get back? We thought it'd be really cool to do a different kind of episode geared towards these injuries. So today we're going to focus on high ankle sprains in the NFL, most recently plaguing Khalil Herbert of the Chicago Bears and earlier this season, Saquon Barkley of the New York Giants. So we're going to discuss mechanism of injury, treatment options for these patients, and more importantly, when do they typically return to play? And when they return, how do they do it? Seeking a clinically proven solution for your patients with massive and irreparable rotator cuff tears that has the potential for early functional recovery and pain relief? Check out InSpace.
InSpace is the industry's only minimally invasive, biodegradable, subacromial balloon spacer for the arthroscopic treatment of massive, irreparable rotator cuff tears. InSpace is designed to restore the subacromial space without requiring sutures or fixation devices. Learn more at Stryker.com/InSpace. Yeah, I'm super excited, but we're first going to just kind of go down to the basics. So what is an ankle sprain? So all ankle sprains are ligament injuries. So ligaments are bands of soft tissue. They connect bone to bone. An injury to a ligament is called a sprain, but if you injure a muscle, that's actually called a strain. So a hamstring strain. We do have a game episode or a game plan episode on that. So we'll plug that on YouTube just so you can see that as well. But similar to muscle injuries, there's three grades of injury to a ligament. So grade one is just really a mild stretch. Grade two is a partial tear, and three is really the more serious ones. Those are complete tears.
Now, before we can dive into all the details about high ankle sprains, it's important to understand the anatomy of the ankle joint and what differentiates a low ankle sprain from a high ankle sprain. So the ankle joint is made up of three different bones, the tibia, or it's also called the shin bone, which includes the medial malleolus, which is the bump on the inside of your ankle, the fibula, which includes the lateral malleolus, which is the bump on the outside of the ankle, and then the talus. And the ankle joint is stabilized in the medial aspect by the deltoid ligament, along the lateral aspect by the lateral ankle ligamentous complex. So that includes the ATFL, the CFL, and the PTFL, as well as the syndesmosis. And the syndesmosis itself, a little bit more alphabet soup for you, also contains the AITFL in the front, the PITFL in the back, and then the interosseous membrane that runs down the middle of the two bones.
And if you're watching on YouTube, you've obviously seen the pictures that we've already flashed up there of the anatomy. But just a reminder, if you do listen to these like traditional audio podcasts, go ahead to YouTube on our channel. And it's just the Sports Talks Pod. And we have pictures of everything. So if you do get lost in the alphabet soup, it's there.
Exactly. All right,
so I'm going to differentiate a little bit more about low versus high ankle sprain. So as Ashley indicated, there's two real big types. Low is really what most people sort of in layman's terms say, oh, I sprained my ankle or, oh, I rolled my ankle. So that's an injury to the ATFL or CFL or PTFL that when you roll it inward, that's an inversion injury. So you can do it the other way, but inversion is going to be the most common. But high ankle sprain, that's an injury to what Ashley talked about, the syndesmosis. So that mechanism is more when your ankle rotates externally, so rotates out. So that really causes that talus bone, that ankle bone, to push the fibula, so your small outer bone of your lower leg, outward, and that really disrupts that syndesmosis. So again, pictures.
Yeah, exactly. Catherine, you and I were talking about this earlier, that when I was looking for pictures for this episode, I was kind of searching the players that have had these injuries. And the mechanism is so clear based on that exact pattern. Like their foot is planted, their body goes, their foot stays and externally rotates. Like you can call it on the field. So if you, as Catherine said, if you're not watching this on YouTube, definitely head over there to check that out. I think it really makes it a lot clearer than a traditional ankle sprain. So talking a little bit more about the epidemiology. So despite this getting a lot of attention in the media, you know, we always talk about high ankle sprains in the NFL. It's actually not that common in the NFL or in the general population. So high ankle sprains make up only 0.5% of all ligament injuries of the ankle in the absence of having a fracture. And though the incidence of high ankle sprains in the NFL is steadily rising, in 2019, the rate was still just 2.5 per 10,000 athlete exposures. In the NFL, these injuries occur most commonly in offensive players, so offensive linemen being the most common, followed by wide receivers. And most injuries occur during the regular season and during gameplay rather than practicing or conditioning.
Yeah. So how do we evaluate them? Very typical presentation. So they have anterolateral, so front side pain along their ankle joint. And they might have some medial sided pain too. They generally have a little swelling, difficulty weight bearing, at least initially. So what we're looking for those high ankle sprains is really that syndesmotic tenderness. But what we really want to pay attention to is where is that tenderness? So the height is actually really important. So the height of the tenderness, meaning the zone of injury, it correlates to the time to return to unrestricted play with higher injury indicating a larger zone of syndesmotic injury. So that's going to portend to a lengthier recovery. So what tests do we do? Again, pictures. Squeeze test, we're compressing the tib and the fib together at the mid-calf, and this is causing pain at the syndesmosis, so that's called a squeeze test. There's also an external rotation stress test. So pain over the syndesmosis occurs with external rotation and dorsiflexion, so bringing the toes towards your nose of the foot, but at the same time, the knee and the hip are actually flexed or bent to 90 degrees. So lastly, we do get imaging. On x-rays, you might see that there's widening of this syndesmosis or something called a medial clear space widening, but MRI might be needed. It's often not received like in the general population, but if in the NFL, they're getting that MRI.
Absolutely. So then treatment, it really depends on that imaging that Catherine said. So no fracture, stable on x-ray. Typically, these are treated non-operatively. So they're placed in a boot, non-weight bearing for 2 to 3 weeks with crutches, and then advanced weight bearing as dictated by pain. I find this very interesting because you think back to the Super Bowl last year and Patrick Mahomes, mm-hmm. you're saying non-operative, non-weight bearing in a boot for 2 to 3 weeks, and he was playing literally the next day. So, take that with a grain of salt. If there's fracture or if it's grossly unstable, like Catherine was talking about, where the tibia and the fibula are no longer in the same zip code, they're completely widened. Obviously, that's going to go for surgical stabilization. And Catherine, I don't think we've done an episode on this, syndesmosis injuries and high ankle injuries and various surgical treatments. So stay tuned for that, listeners. We're definitely going to have that coming out soon.
Yeah, I think we definitely need that. And, we talked about this before with Mahomes in the Super Bowl. If you look at his, pretty immediate within the next, 24 hours, congratulatory or thank you sort of text, he immediately goes to his athletic trainer and talks about how she really got him through that. So certainly if it was a different point in the season, maybe he would have taken a little bit of a break. But Super Bowl, you got to play.
Exactly.
So.
Unfortunately for me, as
yes, that's true.
And I wish he had just taken some time for R&R, but unfortunately he did not. So here we are.
Okay, so let's chat a little bit lastly about performance. So with regards to post-injury performance, we should really point out that there's zero literature on this. I think partly because it's just not a really popular injury. And then I also think it's not a really juicy thing to study because most people do well. Mm-hmm. Desai and colleagues out of Columbia University, they did report that ankle sprains negatively affected performance in NFL players even multiple years after injury, despite having a really high return to play rate of 91%. So that's a study that does exist, and it was showed decrease in total games played. It also showed a decrease in performance output per game played. But again, one study, we don't have a lot of data in this area.
Awesome. And definitely once they get back in, but we should also chat a little bit about return to play. So when it comes to getting back from injury, about 90% of players are able to return to play after a high ankle sprain. A recent study by DeFroda and colleagues found that some stats that kind of go against people are older age at time of injury was associated with a decreased return to play. And then a greater number of years of experience before injury was associated with an increased return to play. So that contradicts itself, but kind of makes a little sense. So the average time to return to play in that study was 11 weeks, which I find really interesting because that contradicts the vast majority of studies that are out there in the literature and also kind of contradicts what we're seeing. Like we talked about Saquon Barkley at the start of this. He was out for, I think, 3 weeks. I mean, most people are out for about 3 weeks. But, maybe in the general population, you're taking a lot more time. But in the NFL, I feel like they're usually not taking 11 weeks, but that's what this study, found. They postulated that maybe it's because high ankle sprains nowadays are more severe injuries because of greater trauma, greater impact, that maybe that's why they're staying out longer. But I still don't think that that's what we're seeing, at least anecdotally, Catherine. I don't know what you think.
I can't think of an example, to be honest, of seeing a player that was out that long. Agree. Maybe it's just, preseason, who knows? We're just not aware of these types of things. But I think it's a lot of time. And I think probably the projection of somewhere in that 3-week ballpark is probably more realistic.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this first ever episode of the Injury Report. We have a lot more coming this season, so we hope you enjoyed it. Any comments, feedback, questions, please comment either on our YouTube channel. You can reach us also on our Instagram page at The Sports Docs Pod. You can also reach us on Twitter or X at The Sports Doc Pod. And if you don't want to reach us on social media, you can also reach us at our Gmail, which is thesportsdocspod@gmail.com. So we welcome any feedback. Stay fit, friends.
Okay. Good night.